Well, good morning. 9:07 says the clock on the wall. It's good to have you with us for another hour of the Home Improvement Show. And if you're listening in from a simulcast, good morning to you at 1290 CJBK in London, Ontario. The toll-free number is 1-800-491-CJAD. And as always here locally, it's 514-790-0800. Our friend Jan Eakes is enjoying some vacation time. And as he did last week, Walter Assey from Renovco is stepping up to answer your calls and answer your questions. How are you this morning?
Fantastic. How are you?
All right, we just turn your microphone on there and get his microphone on. Milder this morning.
Beautiful. Yeah. Much better than last Saturday.
Yeah. We left Walter at the door in some cold temperatures a little too long, but he didn't hold it against us. He came up anyways. You ready to get to work?
I'm always ready.
We're going to start. By the way, 514-790-0800. One full hour of free advice. If you want to talk to Walter, call now and grab a line like Terry did. Terry, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I built my house in 1971, and I used 2x10 floor joists with 16-inch centers. Back then, they used to say, everybody used to use two floors, but that's the time that tongue and groove plywood came out, and they advised me to put 3/4-inch tongue and groove plywood, which I did, with just one floor. But ever since then, 49 years ago, it's been squeaking. And now I've decided to do my floors over again. So I'm just wondering if I use the screws between the nails, it was nailed, of course, back then, would that help the squeaking?
Oh, absolutely. So that was going to be my question. Did you nailed them down in 1971? You obviously did not screw them. That was what people used to do. Right now, what I would do is I would screw it every about 6 inches.
Like between the nail holes, between each nail, I could put one.
That is correct. And really, the more screws you put in the joist, the better it is.
Okay.
And also make sure that you're using the right size screws, because if they're
What I was just going to ask you. It's 3/4-inch plywood, so two and a quarter
is the proper measurement to use. That is correct.
Okay. What was the length of screw do you think I should use?
2 1/4.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And number 8s or 10s?
Doesn't really matter, as long as you have, it's 2 1/4. The depth is fine. Into the joist, every 6-inch center, you'll be good.
Okay.
Are you planning to double the plywood at all?
No.
Okay, so it's still in good shape. Everything's
in good shape.
Okay.
And should I countersink the heads?
You can do it on a straight line. There's not a problem there.
Okay.
It's not a problem. You don't have to do it like in a zigzag mode, because it's nothing structural, so you're good.
But the heads of the screws, should they be countersunk, though?
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
it's not a bad idea, yeah.
Okay, the other quick question is, I'm going to use that vinyl flooring. Is there any tips on that?
Are you using the clip or the
groove? It's like tongue and groove.
Yeah. So it works exactly like installing, very similar to installing floating floors. The only tip I want to give you is get the proper blade to cut it. Because I've seen some installation where they use the wrong saw, and that creates a lot of mess, and it does not give you nice cuts.
Oh, I see.
So just make sure that you have the right saw while you're doing the cutting.
Okay, and the other thing is I got to leave 1/4 inch next to walls, I think, before
Well, yes, but again, it's not as serious as a laminate flooring, or because it works much, much less, right? It's vinyl, so at least you have that.
Okay.
Let's be very careful for one thing. Every manufacturer have different set of rules about their product.
Mm-hmm.
So I would read their guide before I do the work.
Perfect.
So that's very important. And, you know, if you read multiple suppliers, you will see what I'm talking about.
There's
sometimes a big difference in the procedure that they want you to use.
Terry, good luck with that project.
Okay, thank you very, very much.
Thanks for calling
in.
Bye now. Let's go from Terry to Rosemary, who's on the line. Rose, good morning.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. But I have a fan that's been put in over a shower area.
Mm-hmm.
And the instructions in the book said it has to be made safe by having a GCFI connection. And I don't know exactly how that is going to work. I've got a switch on the wall. It's got to switch the fan on. And I have a socket that's GCFI. Now, how do I make those two guys work together?
Well, first of all, why do you have the fan in the shower?
because that's where it's going to take away most steam, right?
That is incorrect.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You want to have it in the center of the room, okay? You want, because, I mean, any condensation that's going to escape that shower area will have nowhere to go at this point, okay? And the other thing is it's an electrical element that is inside the shower that is technically not waterproofed.
Okay.
So it's not the I've seen that mistake done before, okay? It's not the proper way to install a fan. If you look at most fans in bathrooms, it's literally put in the center of the room because it wanna catch the condensation coming from all directions, whether, you know, by you opening the faucet, you know, brushing your teeth or washing your face, or it's coming from the shower area. It's drawing negative air pressure, so it's gonna, anyways, the condensation is gonna go that way. Having said that, the fact that you have it in the shower right now, if you wanna have it safe, I would actually call an electrician for that. Unfortunately, I would not, you know,
fool around with that.
That's correct.
I'm going by the instructions from the electrician, and he says that because it's on the same circuit, it's safe. I don't know if that's the case. It has to be on the load side, surely.
Well, again, we'll look at the installation manual and all the directions that they're going to give you.
Mm-hmm.
Why I'm saying what I'm saying is typically the code stipulates that anything that is electric have to be waterproofed inside a water area.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to put a light, it have to be a waterproof light, okay? If you're going to put a fan, it's still electric. If water splashes into it, it's still electric. So I'm just finding it hard to believe that he have to have a GFI, some kind of protection on that, for sure. The other thing I want to talk about is, you know, when you have sometimes do-it-yourself electrical or do-it-yourself plumbing, even if you know what you're doing, which, you know, in plumbing and electrical, for you to know what you're doing, you have to be most of the time a master electrician or a master plumber.
Right.
We never think about the insurance aspect of things. Something goes wrong in your house, even if it's not related to the area you're working, but it's in the same room.
Yeah.
Everything gets put under a microscope. They want to know every contractor that did work there, every work that you've done in that area, and so on and so forth. So you're taking another level of risk.
Risk.
Just to save sometimes a few bucks.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. Rose, was that any help for you?
It's leaving me in the same place, quite frankly.
Tell me, so what's the question? I'm just not understanding what your question is.
My understanding is that the way that the socket and the switch are connected is how it's going to be protecting the fan in terms of the GFCI factor.
Because it's on the same circuit.
It's apparently not the same circuit. It has to be in the right direction. The supply line has to go through the socket first and then to the switch. That's what my understanding is. Mm.
Rose, we're just going to stop for a second, but I'm not going to let you go. We just have to stop for traffic. Can you hold on the line?
Sure.
All right, let me put her on hold. We'll come right back with more on the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back. 20 after 9, the next best guy is here in studio with a full hour of free advice for you. It's Walter Assey from Inovco filling in again for a vacationing Yannick. Two lines are free right now if you want to call in and get that free advice from Walter. 514-790-0800. Again, 514-790-0800. Grab one of those lines right now. Rose, hi. We still have you?
Hey,
yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Rose. Okay, so then just going back to your question, the manufacturer's instruction will usually call for a GFCI protection for a fan over a shower, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good news is ceiling fans are typically wired to a shared circuit or other lights and outlets. So, because it have very small amperage, so it doesn't, you know, take out a lot of juice.
Mm-hmm.
So he can put it on that circuit if it have a GFCI protection, and that should work.
Okay.
You can follow, just make sure that, you know, he is going to have that surge protection. So GFCI, you can install it on the same circuit. You don't have to go on a separate circuit from the panel.
Okay.
You're just calling for a GFCI protection. That's all.
That's fine. Do you have an electrician I can speak to as
Electrica.
Well?
Electrica. That's Ken's favorite electrician.
Yeah, Electrica will take.
Oh,
we'll
very
take,
good. We'll I'll take try them. Thank you for your help. Thank you.
Thank
you're
you,
welcome,
Rose.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Good luck with that. 514-790-0800. Can I just take a second, Walter, and talk to you about my purchase at Renovco?
Yeah, of course.
I'd like to speak to the manager, please. I think I might have mentioned this on the air to Jan that we needed two new windows in the upstairs bedrooms too. Not the master, but we call it the office and then the spare bedroom. And the house is 20 plus years old, and it was windows with a crank. And, you know, over time, they just wear out. And so we went shopping at Renovco. And I got two of these isothermic windows, mm-hmm. and we loved them. What I loved about them was how easy and smooth the installation was. And your guy, I always forget his name,
Romy?
Yeah. Came over, could not have been nicer, and left absolutely zero mess. In fact, I've hired him to come over every second Tuesday to clean my house.
as a matter of fact, you're right. The isothermic window... is something that I actually worked on with Jan for a while.
Is that right?
I wanted to have his opinion because, you know, he's big in window conferences mm-hmm. and research yeah. and what have you. And we wanted to carry a line that was really something that is outside the box, that have forward thinking on our Quebec climate specifically.
Right.
We have a very special climate here. And those guys, they are Quebec local guys. We work with them on our terms, meaning we wanted to add certain features to the window. They already have a great functioning window.
But they were very flexible and accommodating for you.
That's then. Right, okay. Because whatever recommendations we gave them,
right.
It actually worked for their technology, and now they're adopting most of our recommendations. Example, the double low E argon. They already do robotic welding, which is great for the frame, because a lot of the mama papa stores do not do that, and that might create microscopic fixtures in the window and what have you. And they have that technoform, you know, they have stainless steel hardware, which does not rust or corrode.
Yeah.
All of these things, little things, but they make a huge difference on a window.
Well, and they look great, and they're great. They seal a lot better. There's less, you know, that you can always feel when sometimes the cold air coming in through the very, very great seal. So we're very happy with it. And as Romy was explaining as well, the crank is reinforced too.
That is correct. You know? You have a reinforced bar with that. Yeah. That is definitely right.
All right. Very happy with the product. 924. Donna, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Hi. Sorry, we had to wait for a little bug in the phone to be worked out before we get to you. You're calling about aluminum wiring. What's the deal here?
Yes. Well, I live in Vaudreuil, and my house was built in the 70s, and a lot of the house in it still has aluminum wiring, about 30% of the house. I had it oxidized, but I'm hearing now that some insurance companies are refusing to insure you if you have aluminum wiring. Is oxidation enough, or do you really have to rewire the whole house?
That's going to really boil down to the insurance company and what the requirements are. Some of them are being a bit more stiff with the requirements because in the last few years they had some bad years in claims. So what they do is they have risk managers and they make it more difficult for higher risk homes to get adequate or to get coverage because they want to take that risk. Typically speaking, if they do send you an inspector and he puts it as a condition for you to replace the wiring to continue coverage, you can always call a master electrician and get a certificate of conformity or certificate of safety, you know, deeming the house safe or the wiring safe. And in a lot of cases, they will take that at face value.
Okay. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Donna. Let's go to Brian, who's calling in. Is it Waterloo you're calling from, Brian?
Yes, I am, in the beautiful Eastern Township.
Very nice. What's your question this morning?
Well, it has to do with a toilet that I'm having problems with. It's not flushing properly, and sometimes if I hold the latch down and let it completely drain the reservoir, I still have residue swirling around in the bowl. Sometimes I have to get a plunger. And I'm just wondering whether or not I should just replace the whole unit. I've tried using products in order to unblock if there's any blockage. There's not a lot of distance between this particular toilet and my outside drain. So I'm really not thinking that there's any blockage problems, but I don't know what to do.
Okay. Do you know the brand of the toilet?
To tell you the truth, I do not know.
Okay. So if you can get the brand, One of the things you wanna do is look at the map, rating of the toilet.
Okay.
That will tell you a lot of the background story. Toilets have map rating, and that's really evaluating how fast they move things around in the toilet. And that's how you kind of that's how you evaluate the real efficiency of the toilet. So before purchasing a new toilet, don't go for the brand. If you want to go for the practicality, some of us would want to go with the higher brands, like Totos and the Kohlers and whatever. If you want to have a very practical, high efficiency toilet, you go with the highest map reading, with the highest rating. And sometimes it's the cheaper toilet that would actually perform better. That's correct.
Where do you find that, the map reading?
Even on Yannick's website, he has
okay.
that. Okay. But I mean, any you can go on Google and just look for it, and it gives you. If you put the model number and everything, it gives you all of that. It's fantastic tool for you to know if you're doing the right purchase.
Yeah, it's an American standard. I was just told.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And it's MAP spelled MAP. That's
yes,
the rating.
Yes.
Okay. Well, excellent. I'll check that out. Thank you very much for your advice.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Have a nice day. Happy New Year, by the way, John.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Brian. All right. 514-790-0800. Walter's in for Jan. Another half hour of free advice. Grab a line now. The lines are starting to light up again. 514-790-0800. We're back with more right after news on the Home Improvement Show. Nice to have you back. Second half hour here, 936 514-790-0800. The number to call to talk to Walter from Renovco. Get some free advice here. We're going to get back to the phone in just a second. And a reminder, too, for our friends listening into the simulcast, 1290 CJBK in London, Ontario. Toll-free number, 1-800-491-CJAD. Dorothy has been very patient. Dorothy, hi. How are you?
Yes, I'm great. How are you, Ken and Walter? Nice to have Walter back again.
Yes. And can I just say he looks so dapper for a Saturday
really?
Morning.
Oh, gosh, I wish I could see him.
Yeah, he's got his blazer on. He's got a beautiful blue shirt, and I'm in my sweatpants.
I'm made for TV.
Oh, my goodness. My heart is throbbing.
Dorothy,
okay,
it's a hair...
I have a hairline crack in the toilet tank, and I'm looking at it now. It starts from the handle. It goes down a bit, and then it stops, and then it starts again. I'm wondering if that's a cause for real concern, or should I wait a while? I live in an apartment, and I could call the concierge.
Let me ask you a question. How old is that toilet?
Oh, good knows. I don't know. I have no idea. I've only been here 8 months, so it could have been here years.
Okay. Does it look old?
Not really. No. The toilet, I'm trying to see if there's a name on it. I don't see a name on the toilet per se.
Okay.
Because what we need to know is toilets, like anything else, they
yeah.
do have an expiry. Like,
yes,
you know,
I'm
they
sure.
have a shelf life. And when we have signs that might be disturbing, maybe it's time to look into it.
It sweats a lot, but I think because there's not, I think now they have liners inside.
So that tells me it's probably an older toilet because it doesn't have an insulated tank.
An insulated liner, yeah, that's
that
what
is
I
correct.
Figured. Yeah.
So it might be of coming to age. Now, let me ask you a question. You rent that apartment or you,
yes,
you own
it? Yes, I rent,
okay.
Yes.
So it will be very wise of you in writing to send someone something to the landlord, like an email. Mentioning
it
that there's
and there's water all over the floor.
Voila, because in a lot of cases, they might say that you fell on it, you hit it, dropped something on it,
right.
And then they hold you responsible, and then you have to make a claim to your insurance and fight it off with them. So
oh,
by
dear.
You doing so, you take a picture, you send it, you're protected, and then if they don't act, then, it's all their problem.
It's not my problem anymore.
Specifically when you have a crack...
Yeah, well, this is it, because that could expand, too. And if that breaks, well, there's the big problem.
That's correct, especially when it's on the water tank. Like, if it would have been on the toilet itself, maybe it's less of an issue.
No, it's just on the tank. I just noticed it as I was cleaning the other day, and I thought it was a cat's hair or something. But no, it's a crack, So.
Yeah. If you look from the inside of the tank, do you see the crack from the inside?
I tried to take the top off the other day, but I can't get it off.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. Well, if you actually are if you're successful in taking it off,
yes.
look inside to see if the crack is really protruding through. If it is, it's okay. An urgent matter to
fix. It's urgent, right.
That's correct.
We don't want water all over the bathroom floor, Dorothy.
No. I don't want to take a bath on the floor.
That's right.
Okay, Walter, and thank you very, very much for your help. All Have a great day.
My
Thanks,
pleasure.
Dorothy.
Bye-bye.
That frees up a line if you want to grab that at 514-790-0800. Hi, Mike. Mike, you there?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, how are you? You're calling from Vermont.
I am.
Good for
Beautiful,
you.
Beautiful, not so sunny, but nice day for January down here. Probably similar to what you folks have up in Montreal there.
Yeah, we're getting a mild day.
Not a bad day at all. Here's the situation. I've got a walk-in refrigerator. It's a commercial situation.
Uh-huh.
And right at the floor is ceramic tile.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath the ceramic tile is Advantech, roofing wood, if you will, like a plywood.
Mm-hmm.
And then under that is foam board.
Okay.
So, but the problem what's happening is where you open the door, that hot cold transition area, the tiles started cracking, and mm-hmm. upon digging them up. Getting them out, the Advantech is just completely rotted.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect it's the, it's just that there's condensation going on. And I'm just curious if there's a method or a product for situations like that, that one can use to be like a cold break. I guess maybe, I don't know if it's like a vertical, if I need a vertical foam board. There's a horizontal foam board on the floor, but are you understanding what the situation is?
Yeah, well, I think one of the main issues that you have is whatever you have underneath a ceramic is not really waterproof or watertight. And
well,
whenever
and
condensation...
Sorry, there's a barrier that... There's an orange, I forget what the product is
Ditra.
Called, but between the plywood and the tile.
Okay, so it's a Ditra membrane that you have.
A membrane, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. Where is that happening? Is that at the seam of the Ditra membrane, where it ends?
I think it's, I don't think there's a seam there. It's just, and it's only for like the first foot or something as you come from into the cold room past the threshold. I mean, it's just that transitional area between hot and cold, you know?
Yeah.
Where you open the door to come in there.
That's correct, yeah. So my question to you is, do we go further with the Ditra that we kind of make it all up, like, I don't know, about a foot or 2 feet out of that area? So now we're not really, because the weakest point will be really at the seam. And if the seam is done right at that threshold where the cold and the hot are meeting each other, well, you're going to have that problem all the time. So what I would do is I would try to overlap it a bit further into the other side of the room, and that should take care of the problem for you.
So, get it, transition it past the threshold into the warm side of the building.
Et voilà. That's exactly
right. Okay. All right. Listen, anything's worth it. But there's no other special for this type of situation. To your knowledge, there's no special product or methodology
what's really current in usages like that. I mean, we use liquid membrane, we use Ditra, Ditra is a fantastic product if it's properly installed. Sometimes.
And how do you spell that? How do you spell that, please?
D like David, I like iodine, T like Tom, R like Robert, and A like Adam.
Oh, Ditra. Okay.
Ditra.
All right.
Yeah.
D-R-T-R-A.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay.
Is it expensive?
It's not that expensive, no. It's about maybe $2, $3 a square foot.
Okay.
So it comes in rolls, and you roll it down, and you, if you can, you can YouTube the way to install it, and it's not really difficult to install.
All right.
Is it similar to a rubber roofing membrane type of thing?
It's more corrugated. The good thing about it is it also gives more stability to your ceramic. Showers, we typically will build them with Schluter membranes.
Schluter,
and that is a fantastic fantastic technology. And you know, it's you have to build it like as if it's a swimming pool when you're building a shower, right?
Okay.
So you have to have multiple levels of defense, if we wish. You know, you start with the fiber board, the cement board. You try to use as many products as possible that water does not affect them, or you know, mold proof or mold resistant. Because you know, the ceramic is one thing, the grout is another, but the grout becomes porous after a while. So whatever that whenever the grout hits, whenever the water is penetrating through the grout, it's gonna hit that membrane, and then even what's behind that membrane is supposed to be waterproof or water resistant material. So that way, it's made foolproof.
Right.
Where you really have to concentrate always is on the seams.
Mike, we're up against the clock. How was that?
Well, listen, I appreciate you giving me a few things to think about. I appreciate that, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Mike, appreciate the call. Thank you. That frees up a line if you want to call and talk to Walter in the next 15 minutes. 514-790-0800. We're back with more of your phone calls on the Home Improvement Show. 9:45. Kira, good morning to you. Ten minutes away from 10 o'clock, 514-790-0800 is the local number, toll-free 1-800-491-CJAD. Let's get right back to the phone. Nadia, hi, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
What do you want to talk to Walter about? Windows?
About the window sills, yes.
Yeah.
We have a problem with the cement window sills. They are only 4 years old, and they develop like a map cracks around. A neighbor told us to spray with the silicone to not to crack.
Okay, they're only 4 years old, you said?
Only 4 years old, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the cracks, are they vertical or horizontal?
No, they are all over like a map, you know, but they are about 4 inch wide, and they have a slope, and I don't understand why they have those lines like.
Okay, when it rains or when there's snow accumulation, do you see any... do you see any possibility of water infiltration, meaning the joints around it, or you know, when you have a seam, do you have any possibility, is there any cracks there that water could go through, and it could freeze and expand and cause these cracks?
No, because my husband always clean off when the snow is and cleaning off, not to stay on those seals.
The other thing we want to look at is the installation itself. Was it installed too tight? If the measurements were not adequate and we don't have enough space, so was it forced through that now when the house is shifting, it's causing these cracks? That will be the number two thing to look at. Now, One thing we could do is look at, is it bricks around it or siding?
Yeah, this is bricks and have a slope like, and he measured and he went to buy, you know, and he cut it for them example, and it, you know, it fit like good, and cement round is not that thick round.
Okay, well, hold on a second. Fit that good? It's all relative, right? What's fitting that good? If you tell me it's snug and just right, it's one thing. If you tell me it's fit like a glove, it shouldn't be fitting like that. So yeah, we have to look at really around if it's installed tight or not. And when you say it have a slope, what do you mean when you say it have a slope?
Yeah, this, because water is running off.
Running off.
Standing,
okay, that's
it's
good.
It's a little bit standing when it's a heavy rain, but after it's clear off.
Okay, so that's good. If it have a slope towards the exterior, obviously, that's a good thing. The other thing we might look at is where did you buy those sills from?
Oh, this is from the how they call it, when they make them there.
Yeah,
you know, they
so
have it and they cut it for you, like you measure.
Correct.
And they had two together joined, you know, not only one full because it's long, and
well,
it's joined together.
That's great. That's exactly what I want to know. I want you to look at that joint between these two sills.
Uh-huh.
Do you see cracks in the mortar?
No.
You sure?
Yes, okay. I maybe it takes later, but because I didn't see it.
You
know,
looked from both sides.
Before.
Well, you need to look at it a bit more closely and see if there's any cracks in the mortar in that area, because that is the weakest point, and that's where you could have a lot of water that's coming in. The other thing is you want to see if everything is installed level. Okay.
Yes, it's in level, because my husband make with the man who installed the bricks, and they make a level, and they were careful when they install.
Perfect.
But the line is on the top, you know, on the top line, like a map, you know, going around.
Okay. Does a crack go through, right through?
No. Just only a beginning is a lines like. It's
okay.
Not cracks
now,
yet. Just only lines like.
Okay. There is a remote possibility that it's from the manufacturer itself. So it's a manufacturer's defect. It's a bad batch that they
made. It's possible.
Yeah. So what you could do is take a picture of it and go with that picture to the wherever you bought it from. And show it to them, and if you know there's any certain companies will honor their quality, and they will just give you a new batch. But if the good news is that if the crack did not protrude through and just a surface crack,
it's like a line only.
Yeah, there's no danger of water infiltration or anything like that. So you might be able to wait a while until it becomes a bit more serious. So if it's just a surface crack, it's just probably a finishing crack and artificial crack. At this point, it's not called for concern.
Yeah, but sorry, the spray with silicone is a good idea or not?
Well, I mean, it's a good idea. It's not going to make the cracks disappear. The cracks themselves are artificial cracks right now, so technically you don't have any water. It might help. I mean, I would maybe seal the cement.
Yeah.
I would use a sealer, cement sealer, in order to...
Oh, cement sealer.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much for your advice.
My pleasure.
Okay, have a good day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Nadia. Thank you for the phone call. You know what that music means?
It's unbelievable how fast the show finishes, eh?
Start the car. Walter, thank you so much for the past 2 weeks filling in for Jan. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Ken. Always a pleasure.
Walter Rassi from Inovco, a big supporter of the Home Improvement Show, as you know. Thank you for joining us. We're back next Saturday morning at 9 with more of your phone calls and all this free advice on the Home Improvement Show.